I can tell you, holding this thing's scary, for sure. It's a lot easier to sit here on Sunday morning and, you know, just worship, and it's a lot easier to sit back there and listen to Sid bring a word, or whoever may be in the pulpit that day, and it's a lot easier on Wednesday night to chime in than it is to hold this thing. But the Lord kind of asked me a question. He said, why not? Why is it scary? Why can you not do it? And he said, when you said yes to me, I came and dwelled inside of you. And that qualifies you. I'm not a pastor by any means. I'm a coach. I'm a teacher. I'm a mom. I'm a wife. So I'm not going to be able to expound you with, you know, digging into the Word and finding every nugget that's in there. But the Lord's challenged me in several areas over the last... I don't really like this thing, I don't think. The Lord's challenged me in a couple of areas over the last couple of years to really step outside what made me comfortable. Because He said, it's really not about you, it's about me. And this morning when I walked in, we were doing donuts for dads. And dads, we appreciate the fatherly example you guys set. You know, I've heard Damon preach this. If we could fix a lot of things if we had fathers in every house. And we have some great ones here, some great examples, some godly men that pour into our kids, that pour into bus routes and everything we do here. We just have a great example of men. And for that, I'm thankful. And as with Sydney, on Mother's Day, I talked a little bit about Lori. And with Sydney, he's probably been one of, if not the most influential person in my life in a lot of ways, just because he's poured the Word into me. Don't, Eric J., I'm already doing it. Eric J. took a bath this morning. How quickly I cry. I lasted about 90 seconds. I told him I didn't know what over and under meant, so I'm not a gambler by those standards, but he's poured into me so heavily through the years, and I know he gleans a lot from other people as well, but just the sacrifice he makes on a weekly basis to bring us a solid Word, to not want to leave us as we are, is really inspiring to me. And when he called me Tuesday about this, I was like, are you sure you're hearing the voice of the Lord? You might be a little fuzzy on this week, you know. And he said, no, I really think you're supposed to do it. I'm like, well, okay, here goes. But this morning when I walked into Donuts for Dads, Terry was moving a sign on the table around. And I said, Lamentations. And I think it's 3:22-23. And she said, yeah. What? I'm like, oh, Lord, already. So it was a good reminder to me that He is faithful. That scripture I've been into this week, when I've been questioning why me, I've been in that scripture, and it says, His mercies are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. He's steadfast when I'm not. And when I began to think about some things I wanted to share, I thought about my journey, and I was sharing with Anita this morning when we came in. And I'm sorry, I may chase some rabbits. I may not even read a scripture or tell you anything other than that. But I was talking to Anita this morning. They just found out that her daughter's expecting. So Anita's going to be knee-knees. Okay, so they're going to be grandparents. So congratulations to them. But I remember in 2003 when I was saved, and Damon was here for a revival, some of the things that happened that night is I don't remember a word he preached. But I do remember Jack, I call her Jack, her name's Jessica, being the first one into the baptismal that night because Damon called her Cherished. Actually, Damon didn't call her Cherished. He said, the Lord calls you Cherished. And Anita said, whether that we always believe that, it's still true. That word's still true. And I also remember that night I was standing about right here just amazed. That night we baptized 96 people. There was water all over the floor. There was the water, instead of it being clear, it was looked like blue jeans. It looked nasty. It was dirty. But you know what? The 96th person didn't care how it looked. They hopped right in. But I remember standing right here, and Eric J. came and tapped me on the shoulder. We'd been recently saved in June. And he said, "Mom, I got to get baptized. I need you to go with me." And then here comes Ryan. So we got baptized that night. And I start looking at different things. In the front of my Bible, I write things that has happened through the years and the words I've been given, events. And as I look through this week, Linda Pike, you were brought to my mind. You're don't look so confused. And I'd written in my word about Robert's death in my Bible. And you've been such a tall oak in here and an example to so many of us. I think you're a rock star. That you've been such an example. You've went through these things, and yet you're still here. That's so encouraging to me. It's so encouraging to me that you're that strong oak planted by the river, that you know where to come to. And you come running every Wednesday, every Sunday morning. You kept nursery for years so faithfully. And to me, I just want you to know, and to so many, I think I speak for so many in here, that you're a rock star in this house. You're a rock star. I know my 22-year-old looks at you that way. She hugs you every morning, and it just reminds me of your faithfulness and how steadfast. That's the word. The steadfastness of God. It's mentioned over 250 times in the Bible, so there must be something to it. In the Old Testament, it was to remind all of us how faithful He was, how strong He was, how mighty He was, how His consistency was. In the New Testament, it wants us to know that because He's given us Jesus and He resides in us. He wants us to know that, and He wants us to be immovable, unshakable when tragedies hit. He wants us to operate in that grace. And so that word steadfast continued to come. But I remember we're praying for Caleb, and the first day I walked in this church, Haven's picture was up here. 1.2 ounces at 5 months. And now she's an aggravating 14-year-old running around in here. Okay? I remember things like... a day, Anita, when you couldn't get here because you were so anxiety-ridden. I remember praying with you in an Ingles grocery store. We ran into each other one day. I read your post, Cynthia, this week about how faithful the Lord's been to you over the last couple of years. And all of those things are just inspiring and encouraging me in my faith. And Sydney had said something to me it's probably been about 18 months ago, and he just said it in passing on one of those Wednesday nights when he gets on a roll. And he said, "Lisa, I see you as a Deborah with a combination of Esther." And I didn't know who Deborah was in the Bible, really. Y'all probably do, but I didn't know that. And so I began to study that a little bit. And Deborah was a judge, a prophetess, a military person. She was all these mighty things, but the one thing that set her apart was that she was obedient to the Lord, and she did boldly declare what He said. And then Esther, we've been on Esther a little bit as for such a time as this and that anointing. And so the Lord began to just challenge me to say, "Okay, Lord, I'm scared. I doubt. I have fear. But send me." And through the years, again, there was so much in here that we encounter. We're pretty spoiled in here. I don't know if we know that, but because I've been to other places, and we're pretty spoiled with what we get. And I think sometimes we take that for granted. But I wish I could remember their names, and some of y'all may be able to tell me. But the lady, there was a lady and her daughter. They both had red hair, and they used to sit right over here. And the daughter had an X-ray of brain tumors. Angela, there we go, Angela. The mom, and the daughter was the one that had there we go. I couldn't remember, I didn't have their names written in my Bible, but she came in and she had been diagnosed with a brain tumor, some type of mass in her head, and she had X-rays of it. And we prayed over her just like we prayed over Caleb. And we prayed over her. And a next doctor's appointment, she went. They couldn't find them. Amen. They couldn't find them. They were gone. Don't know why, but I know why. Okay? There's a lot of things we don't understand, but I understand. And, you know, I saw Bell, who was here for a short time. We've seen bones grow back. We may be the weird church, I don't know, but there's been bones grow back. Bell had, absolutely, Brother Clay, we take some of that for granted. I had to go back in my Bible and look at those things that I'd written down, because I had kind of forgotten some of them. But bones grew back so this little girl's head could sit on her spine. She entertained angels. I'm not kidding. If you ever talked to her, she'd blow your mind. It blew our minds. But she knew it. We've seen so much healing in here. So much healing. We've seen tragedy. We've seen it all. But the thing that allows us to get through that is being the steadfastness one of Him. And then our pursuit as a church body. The permission we get in here to believe what you pray. I wholeheartedly stand in agreement with that and pray that. Wholeheartedly. I don't think that's a stretch at all. And I'm so glad that I don't think that's a stretch. That's not weird to me. That's natural. When the natural becomes supernatural, or the supernatural becomes natural, I think I said that backwards, then we have something. And, you know, have there been things that we didn't want to turn out the way they did? Absolutely. But again, it doesn't change the fact that He's steadfast. Where I kind of got off track is, as a coach, I hate to go and send kids to the batting cage, because inevitably, if you're not standing over them, they don't do it right. They talk. I'm sure none of you athletes in here have ever done that. They talk. They go through the motions. When you go through the motion, you don't really believe it's important. You're just passing time. And I've been that in my spiritual. I've been passing time. Not intentionally. I thought I was doing okay. But over the last 18 months, the Lord has really stretched me. When He said, let's do a Bible study with teachers at Carrollton High School. I'm like, no. But He wouldn't let me not. And I'm thankful for that. When, I promise I don't have a lot of these little pages, but I'm just kind of making sure. One of the things that I stand on here is Sydney obviously has poured out, but there's so many godly women in here too. I don't know if y'all noticed it of late, but there, and again, this is what makes this place special. There's liberty for all of us to speak in here, whether you're male, female, whether you're fresh from salvation or not. There's opportunity, and we've had some good word flowing from Aaliyah's, from Tiffany's, from Ariel's, from Lori, from, you know, Sharon sent me a text this week that was just awesome. And so Linda Carter, I mean, there's just so many. I'll miss somebody if I don't quit naming people. But I stand on the shoulders of what you've done before me. And that encourages me. And so you guys have been like my faith heroes, the people that shown me it's okay. You've given me permission because of what you've done. And we all need those people. We all need those people. And the Lord told me that I've had way too many encounters with Him to not share Him, to not tell Him. We were joking earlier, to put it Facebook official, whatever that means, right? But we have permission because of Him, because of His steadfastness. And He goes before us. He goes with us. He is Lord over every storm. He is steadfast in the midst of storm. Great is thy faithfulness. And so the challenge for me over the last few years is the struggle at times. And part of it's because of my choices on my calendar. I've always been pretty faithful to be here on Wednesday night. I've been pretty faithful to be here on Sundays, you know, unless my kids were playing ball. We traveled for 7 straight college baseball, softball seasons. We weren't here a Sunday in the spring for 7 years, just about. But we had opportunity at ball fields. We had opportunity where we looked for it. But there's something about being in this house. In 2014, I read this book called One Word. And it was by John Gordon. And I don't know, y'all. Sydney always kind of does a focus for the year. Or this is what the Lord's saying we're going to see this year. And in 2014, he made a statement that said, daily devotion is better than yearly resolution. Daily devotion is better than yearly resolution. And in the fall of 2013, I'd always said that when Randy stopped playing softball, I would be done coaching. I didn't want to coach anymore when my daughter finished. I'd coached everybody else's daughters, had a great time doing it, but in my mind, I was checking out. We also, that summer of 13, Anthony came to live with us. What a blessing. But it was hard. It was hard at times. And so fall of 2013 with my team, we had an average year. In part, I think, because I wasn't in it. I thought I was going to be done. I checked out. I was going through the motions with my team. I was just going through the motions. I showed up, wrote the lineup out, put them on the field. That's basically what I was doing because I'd kind of checked out. And the Lord challenged me with that word in January. Daily devotion is better than yearly resolution. And when he did that, I had to do some tough introspection. And when I did that, I figured out that I had a passion that I'd let fall to the wayside. I'd been going through the motions. I realized that I had checked out and that if I was going to be a softball coach and a teacher, I was going to be all in again. And when I made that decision, things began to change. I realized I wanted to be more devoted, one, to him. I needed to get some word in me so that I could actually speak things that needed to be spoken, so that I actually discern what was true and what wasn't. I was deceived. I was dangerously deceived. I thought because I was coming to church, check. Because I prayed for a couple of people, check. Because I encouraged a couple of people, check. That I was okay. I could check out and I'd be fine. But the Lord had a different plan. And since I made the choice, I chose, we've seen 19 kids get saved. We've seen just, I can't even begin to describe the difference in me. It's not even them. It's the difference in me and how I want to be there now, because I can see being all in, being passionate for him, building a home for him. Building a home. That was a word that went out of here a few weeks ago, or I don't even know how long it was. Building a home. Building a home for me. And I'm not talking about a physical, I'm talking about a home in here. Changed things in the atmosphere. And when you change the atmosphere, when I walk into the place now of softball, it's not a, oh, I got to go to the field. It's hot. It's 100 degrees. It's not a chore anymore. And it's the same spiritually. If we're dragging to church, me included, I'm not doing anybody any favors. My presence is not doing anybody any favors. It's His presence that's doing that. And as I decided, I can't go through the motions. I've increased podcasts I listen to. I've said, I've got to be more, not do more. And in being more, more comes. And it's not a burden. It's a privilege that we get to enjoy the Father. So, I had to overcome some doubt and some fear. And I listened to a podcast the other day on this. And basically, practical steps. What he asked me, how much are you hanging out with me? How much are you hanging out with me? I'm not talking about you showing up at church. I'm not talking about you working VBS. I'm not talking about, did you tell the worship team they did good? I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about, did you hang out with me? Did you set aside time for me? And as those things began to change in me, He changed me. When I hung out with Him, He changed me. And so, it wasn't like a, you know, you go there and turn the light switch on or off and you have lights or you don't. It wasn't overnight. And I think we get tied up in that where we think it's supposed to happen instantaneously, and it always doesn't. It's the fact that our consistency. I see Sydney up here. I think James alluded to it when he spoke a few weeks ago. He didn't want to do this every day. It's tough. This week has been great, but it's also had times of frustration. Having a Bible study on Thursday morning, sometimes when you start, when you have 27, 28 ladies, and all of a sudden you have three show up. You know what? Next week we might get 11. Let's go back. It can be frustrating. But He says, my mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. He is steadfast when I'm not. He reminds me of home when I feel lost. He reminds me of those things that I'd forgotten along the way when I need something to hold on to. He's faithful. He's faithful. And my challenge is, are we going through the motions? Are we going through the motions? Or are we truly wanting to see change? And change starts with us. I can remember when I got saved 14 years ago, there were circumstances. And I was asking for the Lord to change other things, other people. And you know what? He said, I got to change you first. And when He changed me, those other things changed. I saw my family restored. I saw my kids get saved when He changed me. Because when I look through the perspective of the world, when I see there's tragedy after tragedy, you almost think, why? Let's just check out. But that's not who we're called to be. We're called to be the steadfast. And we're called to be the steadfast because we know who is. We know who is. It says that things are going to happen. Things are going to come against us. That's a given. It doesn't say if. It says when. So at some point, we're all going to go through something. But do you know Him? Is He home? Is He our home? You know, we get caught up in this thing where we want to look at other people and what they're doing. And the Lord says, no, let's look at you. Let's change you. when I stand in this house, I'm encouraged by the people I see in it. I love to hear stories, testimonies of His goodness. So I'm going to just tell you, it starts with a devotion, not to change others, to change you. It starts by being intentional. I used to be that girl that'd say, oh, I'll be praying for you. But you know what? The culture a little bit at Carrollton High School has changed in that when there's issues, they come say, Lisa, will you pray for? And that's not to say I'm doing something awesome. That's to say how awesome He is. But it starts when we stop going through the motions and people see His steadfastness in us. And when they ask me to pray, it's like, yes, I will. Let's do it now. They're like, in the copier room, the copier machine going crazy and getting jammed and bells and whistles going off. Students running down the hallways acting like crazy folks. And we're standing there praying. And again, that's not to lift me up. That's to lift how good He is, because that's not who I am. Let me rephrase. That's not who I thought I was. That is who I am. That is exactly who I am. That's exactly who you are. He goes before us. He stands with us. That's exactly who we are. So my challenge is stop going through the motions. Don't be like Lisa and go through the motions. Be steadfast. Be steadfast. Has anybody ever felt like they've been in a desert? Dry places, thirsty. Felt like you've had chains around you? Shackled to sin? I was shackled to doubt and fear, which is just as bad as having cocaine or whatever in your veins, or big sin. I was shackled to doubt. I mean, my best bud's Lori Garner. Y'all know how awesome she is. It can be intimidating. And that's not intimidating, but it's an, oh, I didn't think of that, Lord. How can I get that? And as I glean from her, and she encouraged, and you guys encouraged me, the motions just weren't satisfying anymore. They weren't satisfying. I needed more than church on Wednesday, than church on Sunday. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Anybody ever felt like they were foolish for not believing that the Lord can, the Lord will? We've all been in those places. But His mercies are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. He's steadfast when we're not. So, we get somebody from the worship team. Linda, you want to come up? I'm really done. I can tell you that as we're more devoted, more and more intentional, that as we seek Him, He meets us where we are. Where we're this year, my word I chose was presence, and the thing that Sydney shared at the beginning of the year was, I don't know if you guys remember, but it was about the budding of Aaron's rod. Why did the rod bud? It was in His presence. It was in the presence of the Lord. And in that presence, the motions of going through something, of not believing it's important, of coming for a checklist, fades away. And so my challenge is, to myself, is to remain planted and to know that He's steadfast. So I'm not really good at altar calls or ending things, I guess, but I guess my question is He home? Do we need new mercies today? Do we need to believe for more? Yes. Yes, we do. It's too tough out there if we don't believe those things. It's too tough. I see that I've always not thought of myself as being eloquent when I talk, and I'm not, because I sound like a country redneck. But it's kind of like Moses in Exodus 3. If we say yes, He goes with us. My husband told me of an incident this week. He feels kind of the same way at times. He defers to me a lot when it's maybe time for prayer over people. He says, I know more scripture. I don't know if that's true or not. But last week he had a lady at work that we had prayed for somebody she knew about a year ago. And she was now going through some things. And she said, Terry J., will you pray? Or she said, I need you and your wife to pray for me. He said, okay. Well, the Lord kind of convicted him a little bit. And he said, you know what? I'll pray for you. I don't know how good it'll be, but I'll pray. She was facing some kind of nuclear testing or something for her heart or something. I didn't really know what she was facing, but it was a big medical issue. And the next morning she came in and said, Terry J., I slept better than I've slept in weeks. Thank you. I had peace. I got a good night's rest. That's the steadfastness of the Lord. He's steadfast when we don't think we can be. And so look for those opportunities. Walk slowly through that crowd. I know from time to time Doyle gets discouraged. He's battling a great thing. But you know what? Sometimes I have to say, Doyle, we're not going down that road. And then I see a joy that you don't get unless you know He's steadfast. So you have the freedom to let your light shine. Again, I'm not very good at these altar calls. I feel like Brett House, just talking and talking and talking. So if you need to come, just come.